live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's Donna Marie Geordie with the news at 5 o'clock. A look to this evening's headlines. Donegal remains under a status yellow low temperature and ice warning as temperatures are forecast to plummet to minus 6 degrees tonight. The HSC says there's been a disappointing uptick in the flu vaccine this year. A woman from South Donegal was left shook when she found a stranger in her car, which had been left running to defrost on Friday morning last. And finally, the first reports from the Independent Commission for Reconciliation and Information Recovery are expected to be published in the autumn. These stories in full, plus more to follow. Aisling Kelly will be at the sports desk at around a quarter past five this evening. Donegal remains under a status yellow low temperature and ice warning as temperatures are forecast to plummet to minus 6 degrees tonight. Road temperatures in parts of the county were as low as minus 4 degrees earlier today. Around 1,100 kilometres of road across Donegal has been gridded each day during the current cold snap. The next gridding route is to start at 8 p.m. this evening and there'll be another at 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. However, the Council's Director of Roads and Transportation, Brian Cannon, says drivers must assume that no road is ice-free.
Whilst we haven't had the same orange warnings that they've had further south, we still had quite a considerable period of wintry weather up here. Over 1,100 kilometres of road in the county is gridded, 21 gridding routes. These have either been gridded twice or three times every day since New Year's Day. Crews were out at 6 o'clock yesterday morning, at 3.30 yesterday afternoon, at 7.30 yesterday evening, and again at 6 o'clock this morning on those gridded routes. But our crews are also dealing with some local issues on public roads that aren't on the gridding programme on a priority basis as different calls come in. But it's likely that the current spell of wintry conditions will last until Friday. We have a winter service engineer on duty daily who make a call on the treatment that is required to the gridding routes, and they do that using some specialist forecasting tools as well as local information. And we also attend the National Coordination Group. But one thing I suppose to remember is that road temperatures are generally lower than the air temperature that will be displayed in your car, and at the minute they're very low. Some of our sensors around the county are recording road temperatures down as low as minus 4. So you can imagine anything that's frozen will remain frozen. You can never assume that a route is ice-free, even if it has been treated. Local conditions can change, especially earlier in this period of wintry weather. There was quite a bit of freeze-thaw happening, whereby you may get some water running out of a field, out of a ditch, that would perhaps even wash the salt off the road and then freeze. Or you can get a very fine layer of snow that will land and freeze immediately given the road temperatures. So the public should never assume that the road is ice free.
Donegal Civil Defence is working with the council to also provide assistance to vulnerable people during the inclement weather. They're providing essential services such as collecting and delivering groceries, food and medications, as well as delivering meals on wheels and transporting people to medical appointments. Meanwhile, residents of Derry City and Strabane District are being told by council that some services have been affected by today's weather. City of Derry Airport is open, but passengers are advised to allow extra time for journeys and to check online for departure and arrival updates. Refuse collection services are operating, but there may be delays and access issues in some remote areas. Householders should just leave their bins out as normal, though. The city cemetery also remains closed, but there others are open with care involved. It's understood that there's severe traffic congestion between Kilross and Stranorlar this evening. It follows reports that a lorry has broken down, leading to delays on the road. Gardaí have been dispatched to the scene. The HSC says there's been a disappointing uptake in the flu vaccine this year. 678 people are currently in hospital with the virus, with fears that numbers could rise following the reopening of schools. It's prompted calls from the INMO for a national emergency plan to address hospital overcrowding. Tony Canavan, Regional Executive Officer for the HSC West and Northwest, is encouraging people to avail of the vaccine.
The level of uptake of the vaccine this year is not where we would have wanted it to be, and that's contributing to the difficulties that we have right now for sure. So the uptake of the vaccine just wasn't at the levels that we would have wanted, either amongst the general population or indeed amongst healthcare workers as well.
There were 27 admitted patients awaiting beds at Letterkenny University Hospital this morning. 11 of them were on trolleys in the emergency department. In Sligo, the figure was 53, with 31 of them in the ED. Nationally, the INMO says there were 658 patients awaiting beds. A woman from South Donegal was left shook when she found a stranger in her car, which had been left running to defrost on Friday morning last. At around 7 a.m, Sorsha entered her car to go to the gym and discovered a man in the passenger seat. She was not touched or threatened during the incident, and the man got out of the car and left the scene. Gardaí have been notified of the incident, and it's understood the man had been returning from a night out. Sorsha told the 9 to Noon show that while there was no ill intent on this occasion, it could have been much more serious.
I went outside about 10 minutes before I was ready to leave. I turned the car on to let it defrost, and I was in and out to the car sporadically, you know, leaving things in and stuff like that. And I'd say there was a 3 to 5 minute gap between my last bout out to the car. I was just sitting in the car ready to go to the gym, and I was sitting in the driver's seat, and I looked to my left and there was somebody sitting beside me. I live 5 kilometres from the nearest town, so having somebody being just walking around in quite a rural area, I wasn't expecting it at all. The person who had gotten into my car, my gym bag was sitting on the passenger seat, had lifted the gym bag off, sat in themselves, and then put my gym bag sitting on their own knee as if, okay, let's go. I kind of backed myself out of the car, but still kind of had my head in because he was still just sitting there. And the only response I had was, get out of my car, what are you doing? Why are you in there? He then put my gym bag down and proceeded to get out. And he just kind of slowly started to back away from the car. Once he was out of my car, I kind of went round the other side close to my house and was still shouting, you know, what are you doing? Why are you in my car? And his only response to me was, calm down, stop screaming. The whole purpose of this was just to warn people, like, because as I said, it's such a common thing we do, to go out, defrost the car, go in, make yourself a bit of cereal, a bit of toast and come out, you know, when the car is nice and warm. You don't know who's around. Even if it's a rural area, you don't know who's there. That's what kind of shook me the most was, as I said, we are 5 kilometres from the nearest town, that there was somebody out on a country road at that hour of the morning. The ice as well, how he made it up my road.
The first reports from the Independent Commission for Reconciliation and Information Recovery, created under the Legacy Act, are expected to be published in the autumn. The Irish Examiner reports that the new body tasked to probe cases from the Troubles is currently looking at 25 cases and has also accepted a request for an investigation from the Secretary of State. ICRIR Chief Executive Louise Ward-Hunter says the Commission is committed to getting the unvarnished truth for victims, survivors and families, adding that the answers, which have been long sought after, cannot be rushed. The number of students caught cheating in their junior and leaving cert exams more than doubled last year. Some students' papers were found to be almost identical, while others were caught using their mobile phones. Ellen Butler has more.
86 Leaving Cert results were withheld following last summer's exams, according to the State Examinations Commission, jumping from 47 in 2023. The Irish Independent reports a further 12 have been provisionally withheld, pending further communication with the schools and candidates concerned. The number of junior cycle students caught cheating also more than doubled last year, from 10 to 24. The SEC says the breaches included the possession of notes and the unauthorised use of smartwatches and phones in exam halls. Some students were reportedly caught after leaving notes inside the exam script when they handed it up. The most common penalty for cheating is the withholding of marks in the subject, although the most serious cases can result in the withholding of all exam results or being barred from repeating.
A Donegal town business owner has urged people to be very careful after she was scammed at the weekend. Roisin Gillen, owner of Pretty Baked Bakery, received a text purporting to be from gov.ie offering her the opportunity to apply for an electricity credit this year. She says it came just days after the 2024 payment was lodged into her account, and she responded because that was on her mind. She started going through the application process and inputting details, but stopped after becoming suspicious. Half an hour later, she received a call claiming to be from her bank, but aborted the call when the person on the line started asking for bank details. She then found that her accounts had been emptied, but the money had been transferred to payees already on her account. She outlined what happened to Greg Hughes on today's 9 till Noon show.
He explained to me that they needed to secure the system and told me he would need some details. So I said to him that I'm not giving him any details on the phone, and he told me that I would have to because my account has been hacked and they needed to act fast. I said that I didn't trust that it was from the bank because I said banks will never call you, and they will especially won't call you on a Sunday morning at 11 a.m. I told him that I was going to hang up on him and I was going to call the AIB back myself to sort this out. When I got off the phone, I checked my online banking again and everything was gone. I rang AIB. They helped me to locate where my money had been sent to, and I have since been in touch with those accounts and I've started the process of retrieving most of my funds. The bank then explained to me how the scam works. What they do is they will get basic access to your account through the text message. Then what they will do is they will transfer your money to saved payees already on your account, because for them to be able to transfer your money to their account, that's when they have to call you to get more information. So when you look at your account, it shows zero and naturally you panic, but they haven't actually taken the money at that point. They've just sent it to other accounts.
The time is coming up to 12 minutes past five here on Highland Radio. We're going to go to a short break and Aisling Kelly will be back with all the latest in sport. We're approaching quarter past five here on Highland Radio. Aisling Kelly's at the sports desk.
Thanks, Donna Marie. We start with Gaelic Games. Saturday's refix to All-Ireland Senior Football semi-final between Errigal Kieran and Dr. Crokes has been moved to Newbridge. The game was due to take place in Portlaoise, but it's now been moved following a pitch inspection at O'Muir Park. The other Final Four clash between Curla Strand and Coola will still go ahead at Breffni Park in Cavan on Saturday. The GAA has admitted it would be massively disruptive if the weather forced this weekend's games to be postponed again, just a week out from the final at Croke Park. Semi-finals are postponed. If the semi-finals are postponed again, the GAA say they do have contingency plans in place. Now, on the football cross-channel, Tottenham host the first leg of their EFL Cup semi-final, missing eight players due to injury and illness. Midfielders Pap Sarr and James Maddison are suspended for tonight's first leg against Liverpool. That kicks off at 8, and Republic of Ireland goalkeeper Kevin Keller could be named on the bench, as Liverpool boss Arnaud Slot has hinted that first-choice Alisson could start tonight. Slot, meanwhile, is also expecting plenty of goals in the tie against Spurs. Mo Salah scored 21 times so far this season in all competitions, and the pool manager believes the attention on the Egyptian international means the contributions from his other attackers may have gone under the radar.
A part of this success is definitely the quality of the players, but a part of it is also the playing style we have. Again, the game against United was a game that everybody loved to watch because we play such an attacking style of football. What comes with an attacking style of football is scoring a lot of goals, and that's what we do at the moment.
Spurs, meanwhile, have conceded six goals against tonight's opponents. That was in the recent Premier League meeting. Manager Ange Postecoglou says he won't be changing his approach, however.
We're at home and, you know, when it's a sort of a two-legged affair, if you can get some kind of advantage in your home game, that sets you up pretty well. So that's what we'll try and do.
West Ham have sacked their manager, Julen Lopetegui. The Spaniard, who only took charge in the summer, leaves the club 14th in the Premier League, having won six of his 20 top-flight matches. Celtic can open up a 16-point gap at the top of the Scottish Premiership tonight, standing in their way of the 3 points are a Dundee United side, which is managed by Waterford man Jim Goodwin. The Tangerines are third in the table and took a point in a scoreless home draw against the champions in December. Goodwin admits that Parkhead tonight is an entirely different proposition.
Yeah, I think Celtic at Parkhead is slightly different to Celtic away from home. I thought the overall performance here against them in the 0-0 draw was very, very good without the ball. You know, Celtic will no doubt dominate possession on Wednesday. They have done in every game up to now at home. The shape of the team and the discipline and that concentration levels need to be sky high, because we know, you know, that they're capable of, you know, on their day, cutting you open.
Ross County striker Ronan Hale has completed his switch from the Republic of Ireland to Northern Ireland. The former Derry City player is now eligible for Michael O'Neill's side following a lengthy process spanning 5 months. Hale had been capped at under 19 and under 21 level for the Republic of Ireland with 5 goals in 12 appearances. The deadline for those wishing to apply to be one of the beneficiaries from the 2025 Northwest 10K is rapidly approaching, and it's this Friday, the 10th of January. Interested charities should email their applications to tony@letterkennychamber.com. The magical million euros mark is now within touching distance for the charity run and walk, which takes place on Monday, the 5th of May in Letterkenny. It will be the 28th Northwest 10K. And finally, in motorsport, Letterkenny native Oisin McShane was one of two Irish drivers who were in Norway this week for a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to experience driving on snow and ice under the tuition of John Hogland and rally superstar Andreas Birkerud. 15-year-old Oisin and 18-year-old Ross Ryan got to experience front-wheel drive techniques in a Nissan Almera GTI before progressing to a four-wheel drive Subaru Impreza on day two. The pair of young rally stars were put through their paces driving on a frozen lake. The trip was organised by the Craig Breen Foundation. Oisin and Ross have earned their place on the trip thanks to their results in the Junior 1000 class of the Irish Forestry Rally Championship last year. That's your sport for today. We'll have more tomorrow morning after the 8:30 news.
Thanks, Oisin. Two people died in work-related accidents in Donegal last year, with 33 people dying at work nationally last year. That's down 23% on the 2023 figure, while deaths in construction-related incidents last year fell by 50%. However, construction and farming remain the two most dangerous sectors. The HSA's Mark Cullen says the tragedy is that all of these deaths are preventable.
While the trend downward is a good, positive trend to go downwards, there are still 33, as we said, in 2024 that has lost their lives and left behind families and very tragic circumstances. The activities and the sectors that the fatalities occurred in 8 sectors, but 2 sectors that stand out and have been consistently is the agriculture and construction. Now, there is also, in terms of the wholesale and retail is featuring this year, but agriculture and construction, it's not surprising because of the high-risk activities that goes on in those 2 particular sectors, the environmental challenges in terms of the weather. So there's a lot of pressure on and there's a lot of activity that changes throughout the course of a given day or even week as that work it continues. What we are seeing in those 2 particular sectors, or what are the contributing factors to the fatalities right across all sectors, is that it's either working from height, working in and around plants and equipment, or working around live equipment that's carrying out some work activity. The authority certainly would believe that every single one of them is preventable.
The rising prices of Irish food and drink exports helped sales reach record value last year. The collective of exports was valued at 17 billion euro, with Irish dairy goods bringing in 6.3 billion. The value of drink exports grew by 19% in 2024 to just over 2.1 billion euro. Jim O'Toole, chief executive of Bord Bia, says raising prices is not surprising to compete in global markets.
The farming vote in the United States of America was very much pro-Trump, and the US is one of the biggest producers and exporters of agricultural products. So I suppose we have to be careful and think about campaigning versus administration. We've had COVID, we've had conflict in the world that has interrupted supply chains, we've had inflation, we've had cost of living. So input prices, of course, have increased and labour costs have increased. So in some cases, commodity prices have risen, and that has been part of the increase. But equally, we've seen volume growth in a number of sectors. We're always in a situation where we're competing in global markets, and there is competition from all sorts. So it has been, as we've described it, as a robust performance to achieve a record figure of 17 billion and a growth across the board of 5%.
Ryanair is threatening disruptive passengers with legal action. The airline is seeking over 15,000 euro in damages from one customer and is warning it will do the same for other disruptions going forward. The ongoing legal issue surrounds an incident last April which saw a Lanzarote-bound plane from Dublin redirected to Porto. Owen Corey, travel editor of Extra, says other airlines could be inspired by his action.
I think the aviation world will be watching what happens here, how easily the case goes for Ryanair and whether they get the result that they desire. And the result that they desire is not so much what happens in the courtroom as a reduction in incidents. The number of incidents worldwide isn't increasing that much. And in fact, it seems to have stabilized. They're very hard to win. They're very expensive to run. Running a legal case can cost as much as the diversion did in the first place. And very often the individual that you're pursuing is not a person of means, just somebody who had an adverse reaction to medication or drank too much. Courts tend to see a big corporation against an individual who, by the time the court case comes, has a long list of special circumstances.
Looking now to the weather forecast, tonight will be very cold and largely dry. A few wintry showers will affect parts of the north and west. There will be severe frost inland, ice and patches of freezing fog. Lowest temperatures of minus 6 to minus 2 degrees with light variable breezes. To conclude this evening's news, the headlines. Donegal remains under a status yellow low temperature and ice warning as temperatures are forecast to plummet to minus 6 degrees tonight. Road temperatures in parts of the county were as low as minus 4 earlier. Around 1,100 kilometres of road across Donegal has been gridded each day during the current cold snap. The HSE says there's been a disappointing uptake in the flu vaccine this year. 678 people are currently in hospital with the virus, with fears that number could rise following the reopening of schools. It's prompted calls from the IMNO for a national emergency plan to address hospital overcrowding. A woman from South Donegal was left shook when she found a stranger in her car, which had been left running to defrost on Friday morning last. At around 7 a.m, Sorsha entered the car to go to the gym and discovered a man in the passenger seat. She was not touched or threatened during the incident, and the man got out of the car and left the scene. And finally, the first reports from the incident at Command of Reconciliation and Information Recovery are expected to be published in the autumn. The Irish Examiner reports that the new body tasked to probe cases from the Troubles is currently looking at 25 cases and has also accepted a request for an investigation from the Secretary of State. ICRIR Chief Executive Louise Ward-Hunter says the Commission is committed to getting the unvarnished truth for victims, survivors and families, adding that the answers, which have been long sought after, cannot be rushed. That's all for now from Highland Radio News. We'll be back again with headlines at 6 o'clock. Good evening.
The obituary notices for this Wednesday evening, the 8th of January. The death has taken place in Glasgow of James Cullen, Glasgow, and Devlin Rea, Carrigart. His remains will arrive at his sister Mary Ellen's residence at 9 o'clock tonight. Funeral from there on Friday morning, going to the Church of St John the Baptist, Carrigart, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. The Mass can be viewed on the Meva Parish Facebook page. The death has taken place of Kathleen Ward, née Doherty, 32 Main Street, Plumbridge. Kathleen's remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there on Friday morning at 10:30, going to Sacred Heart Church, Plumbridge, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to St Vincent de Paul and Marie Curie, care of McGuigan Funeral Directors. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 10 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. The death has taken place of Nora Hannah Taylor, née McLaughlin, Jackie of Ashford, County Wicklow, formerly of Ross Head, Glengad, Mallon. Nora will repose at the William Doyle Funeral Home in Kilcool on Friday evening from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Funeral arriving at Ashford GAA grounds on Saturday morning at 20 to 12 before proceeding to the Church of the Most Holy Rosary, Ashford, arriving for Requiem Mass at 12 noon, followed by private cremation. The funeral Mass will be recorded and a link posted at 6 p.m. on Saturday. The death has taken place of Hugh Ward, 17 Rosemount, Kilmacrennan, formerly of Bayview House, Cadieu, Burton Port. Funeral Mass in St Columbus Church, Kilmacrennan, tomorrow morning at 11, followed by cremation in Lakeland's Crematorium, Cavan. The funeral Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. No wake, the house is private, please. The death has taken place of Michael McBride, Mickey Tommy, Largan Rea, Downings. remains reposing at his late residence. Funeral from there tomorrow morning to the Church of St John the Baptist, Carrigart, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. The Mass can be viewed on the Meva Parish Facebook page. The death has taken place of Nancy Robinson, née Armstrong, Drum Boy, Newton Cunningham. Her remains will repose at her home until 8 o'clock this evening and again from 2 p.m. until 8 p.m. tomorrow. Removal from there on Friday afternoon at 12:30 for service of thanksgiving at 1 o'clock in Newton Cunningham Presbyterian Church, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member, or Terence McClintock, funeral director. Family time, please, on the morning of the funeral. The death has taken place of William Madlin, Ballykerrigan, Clohan, reposing at his home. Requiem Mass in the Church of Our Lady of Perpetual Succour, Glenfinn, tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, followed by cremation at Lakeland's Crematorium in Cavan. The funeral mass can be viewed on the parish webcam. The wake is private to family, friends and neighbours, please, at the request of the deceased. The death has taken place of John Anthony Quinn, Curramone, Ballybuffet. Wake private, please, to close family and friends. John's remains will repose at his late residence today until 10 p.m. with all other times private. Mass of the Resurrection tomorrow morning at 11 at the Church of Mary Immaculate's Tronorder, with burial afterwards in Drumbo Cemetery. Flowers welcome, donations if desired, to the Friends of the Letterkenny University Hospital, care of Martin McGowan, funeral director, or any family member. The Requiem Mass will be streamed on churchservices.tv. And the death has taken place of Mary Jo Farran, Carrowmore, Glenealy, reposing at her mother Margaret's residence at Carrowmore, Glenealy. Removal from there on Friday morning at 10:30, going to St Mary's Church, Bochan Culdaff, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. The Requiem Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Oncology Unit, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member, or Kelly's funeral directors. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.